sorry to tell you, friends, that Mr. Burgess cannot be with us through affliction. May we be helped to pray for him that he may be raised up again to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Mr. Chapman has kindly agreed to come and preach to us in the evening. He is travelling a very long way to come to us. So may we be helped to pray for him that he may be given strength in body and in spirit, that he may preach the gospel with the anointing of the Holy Ghost. May the Lord help us to commence this service with hymn 708. As when a child secure of arms hangs at the mother's breast, safe folded in her anxious arms, receiving food and rest. Hymn 708.
Thank you.
reading this morning is from the Gospel according to John and chapter 12. The Gospel as recorded by John, chapter 12. Then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. There they made him a supper, and Martha served. But Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. Then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the odour of the ointment. Then saith one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him, Why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence? And given to the poor. This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the bag, and bare what was put therein. Then said Jesus, Let her alone. Against the day of my burying hath she kept this. For the poor always ye have with you, but me ye have not always. Much people of the Jews therefore knew that he was there, and they came not for Jesus' sake only, but that they might see Lazarus also, whom he had raised from the dead. But the chief priests consulted that they might put Lazarus also to death, because that by reason of him many of the Jews went away and believed on Jesus. On the next day, much people that were come to the feast, when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, took branches of palm trees and went forth to meet him and cried, Hosanna! Blessed is the King of Israel, that cometh in the name of the Lord. And Jesus, when he had found a young ass, sat thereon, as it is written, Fear not, daughter of Zion, behold, thy king cometh, sitting on an ass's colt. These things understood not his disciples at the first. But when Jesus was glorified, then remembered they that these things were written of him, and that they had done these things unto him. The people therefore that was with him when he called Lazarus out of his grave and raised him from the dead bear record. For this cause the people also met him, for that they heard that he had done this miracle. The Pharisees therefore said among themselves, Perceive ye how ye prevail nothing? Behold, the world is gone after him. And there were certain Greeks among them that came up to worship at the feast. The same came therefore to Philip, which was of Bethsaida of Galilee, and desired him, saying, Sir, we would see Jesus. Philip cometh and telleth Andrew, and again Andrew and Philip tell Jesus. And Jesus answered them, saying, The hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. He that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. If any man serve me, let him follow me, and where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honour. Now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this cause came I unto this hour. Father, glorify thy name. Then came there a voice from heaven saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. The people therefore that stood by and heard it said that it thundered. Others said, an angel spake to him. Jesus answered and said, this voice came not because of me, but for your sakes. Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. This he said, signifying what death he should die. The people answered him, we have heard out of the law that Christ abideth forever. And how sayest thou, the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is this Son of Man? Then Jesus said unto them, yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while ye have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. While ye have light, believe in the light, that ye may be the children of light. These things spake Jesus and departed, and did hide himself from them. But though he had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed not on him, that the saying of Esaias the prophet might be fulfilled, which he spake, Lord, who hath believed our report? And to whom hath the arm of the Lord been revealed? Therefore they could not believe, because that Esaias said again, he hath blinded their eyes and hardened their heart that they should not see with their eyes nor understand with their heart and be converted, and I should heal them. These things said Esaias when he saw his glory and spake of him. Nevertheless, among the chief rulers also many believed on him. But because of the Pharisees they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. For they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. Jesus cried and said, he that believeth on me believeth not on me, but on him that sent me. And he that seeth me seeth him that sent me. I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. And if any man hear my words and believe not, I judge him not. For I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. For I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me, he gave me a commandment what I should say and what I should speak. And I know that his commandment is life everlasting. Whatsoever I speak, therefore, even as the Father said unto me, so I speak. Amen. May the Lord bless to us his holy word and help Benji to pray.
O Lord, we do pray that thou wilt come now and truly teach us how to pray. O that the words we speak might be a prayer indited from above, a prayer that thou wilt hear. O Lord, thou knowest we are each met in thy house this morning. Thou hast in thy mercy brought us each here once again. And Lord, we do pray that we each might have that right spirit and that true desire to worship thee aright. O Lord, to come unto thee with all our needs. For thou knowest what poor, wretched, undone sinners we are. Grant us that true repentance in our hearts and enable us each to confess our sins before thee. O Lord, how our coldness and deadness oftentimes, how we feel our far-offness from thee. We pray that thou wilt come, warm our cold hearts, and draw us by thy power. Oh, that we might have that living faith in our hearts to look to thee, to come, O Lord, seeking to know thee and thee alone this day, to see Jesus only. Oh, that we might know what it is to see thee as our Saviour and our Redeemer. For thou art that one thing needful. Thou art the one that can do us good. O Lord, we do pray then that thou wilt work in our hearts and quicken our souls into life. O Lord, that we might truly know that thou art our Saviour and our Redeemer. O Lord, we need thee to come and guide and direct our steps here below, but oh, to make us right for that never-ending eternity, which we oftentimes feel is drawing nigh. Oh Lord, how we know not how long we have here below, but oh, to be found in thee, watching and waiting upon thee. Oh Lord, with true faith, seeking that thou wilt cleanse us from all our sins, that we know what it is to be washed in thy blood and made clean, that thou wilt come and clothe us in thy righteousness. O Lord, that when we come to the end of time, we might be found in thee. O, do have mercy then on each one gathered here this day, from the youngest to the oldest, and work in each heart, and bring them to know something of these things, to know our interest in a Saviour's blood, to truly be able to plead that blood which does for sin atone. O Lord, do remember us each then and have mercy upon us and make us right. O Lord, we pray that thou will help us even in all our trials and difficulties here below. O Lord, thou knowest the needs of each one. Thou knowest the cries, the petitions put up unto thee even for this service. And we pray that thou wilt come and cause thy word to be made suitable, to be applied by the power of thy Holy Spirit to do each soul good, that thou wilt send none empty away out of thy house this day. Oh, that thy name might be honoured and praised by one and another. Lord, the power is thine, and thou alone canst do it. Oh, we do pray that thou wilt come, work wondrously in our midst, O Lord, and bring forth never-dying souls to rejoice in thee and to praise thy name for all that thou hast done, for thou art worthy. Lord, help us each then to praise thy great and holy name and remember us for good. Lord, we pray then that thou wilt come and remember each one in their needs here below. Lord, we know not where each one is, but thou seest all things. Thou knowest all things. Make a way for those that can see no way. And Lord, we pray that thou wilt give all needed strength to those. Perhaps those, Lord, that have heard that word here recently, go forward. And yet, Lord, the Red Sea is in front. Oh, we do pray then that thou wilt come and make that way through. O Lord, and have mercy upon us and remember us for good. Lord, we pray then that thou wilt help thy servants as they come week by week, that thou wilt be with each one and that thou wilt give them that message, that word to bring to us, that word that thou wilt use, Lord, that thou wilt make powerful in the hearts of sinners. Do then remember each one and help us still to look to thee, O Lord, to fix our whole dependence on thee. We pray for thy servant that was expected here today. O Lord, thou hast laid him aside. We do pray that thou wilt be with him where he is, that thou wilt grant thy healing mercies if it can be thy will, that thou wilt raise him up and enable him once more to hold up a precious Jesus. Do grant him then a true blessing and help him to praise thy name. We pray for thy servant that we hope will help us even this evening. Lord, we do pray that thou wilt give him all needed help and strength and that thou wilt bring him in peace and safety. Help us each to truly uphold his arms in prayer and that he might have that word to bring. But Lord, we need thee to give that hearing ear and that understanding heart. Lord, that thy word might enter and do us good and bring forth that true fruit. Oh, how we do pray that thou wilt come and open those deaf ears, those blind eyes, and if it can be thy will, cause those dumb tongues to speak. Oh, Lord, thou didst these miracles in the days when thou wast here below. And Lord, we do pray that thou wilt work them again here in our midst and that there might be that praise brought forth to thy name. Lord, do then have mercy upon us and work in each heart and bring one and another to tell to sinners round what a Saviour they have found. Oh, Lord, do remember us then and work here in thy church and build it up if it can be thy will. Oh, that thou wilt come and send that true prosperity in our midst. Oh, Lord, that we might each be enabled to praise thee, that we might be enabled to say that it is the Lord's work and marvellous in our eyes. Oh, to be able to rejoice in what thou hast done. And Lord, do remember us in respect of a minister, a pastor here, if it can be thy will. We pray that thou wilt give that true exercise in each heart, that thou wilt send a man after thine own heart, that we might have one to go in and out before us, a true under-shepherd, put there by thy power. O Lord, help us each to truly seek these things and to look to thee, to have compassion upon us. Lord, remember us each then in mercy. And Lord, we pray for our country, our land at this time. Lord, thou knowest how we have to truly confess what wickedness, what wretchedness runs down our streets, how it grows worse day by day, the evil laws enacted, O Lord, and those thy word trodden underfoot put aside. O Lord, we do pray then that thou wilt come, Oh, if thou wilt but work in some of our leaders, put thy word in their hearts and draw them to know thee. Raise up then God-fearing men in our midst, if it can be thy will. O Lord, and go before us now. We have an election looming. Lord, guide and direct us aright, that which is right in thy sight might be done. O Lord, we do pray then that thou wilt come, curb those powers of evil and keep them under control. For Lord, as we oft times hear, the government is upon thy shoulders, and thou art above all things. Oh, do it grant us then that true living faith to truly believe these things and to come unto thee with these needs, even the needs of our land here at this time. For, O Lord, thou hast appeared for us in times past. We would not be unmindful of these things. And, Lord, we desire that thankful heart for blessings in past days. But we pray that thou wilt come again and direct our steps aright and draw this land after thee. Oh, that thy name might be honoured, that there might be many that go to those places of worship. Oh, Lord, that the truth might be spoken throughout this land. Lord, nothing is too hard for thee. As we look at it, these things seem impossible. But we do pray that thou wilt come and work, and that thou wilt remember us then in mercy. Oh, in wrath, remember mercy, Lord, and appear for us once more. Do remember us now through this day. Help us in this service. O Lord, we pray that thou wilt use those things spoken in times past. Use thy word, the words sung. Lord, they're all in thy control. All under thy power. We pray that thou wilt come then and remember us today and grant us true worship and grant that there might be a word in season to our never dying souls, a word made suitable by the power of thy Holy Spirit to do us good, something to keep, something to remain with us, something to guide us in the right way, something to keep us from all the evils and the snares around us, and to keep our hearts looking unto Jesus. Lord, do now remember us in mercy as we seek these many and great things for thy name's sake. Amen.
Hymn number 1016. God of my life, thy gracious power through varied deaths my soul has led. Oft turned aside the fatal hour, or lifted up my sinking head. Hymn 1016.
Thank you.
try and read to you a sermon preached by Mr. Ernest Rowe. You'll find the words of the text in Psalm 27 and verse 9. Psalm 27, verse 9. Hide not thy face far from me. Put not thy servant away in anger. Thou hast been my help. Leave me not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation. If we have any doubt that a real living child of God has changes, and rapid and great changes, and does not always live on the mount, you run through this psalm when you have a moment to spare. In the opening verse, none is more confident than David. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? What could you have better than that? Though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. And so on. Yet in the words we have read, quickly after those strong utterances of clear and personal assurance of his faith and hope in God, we have the dear man saying, hide not thy face far from me. Put not thy servant away in anger. Thou hast been my help. Leave me not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation. Now, how do we account for these big changes in a biblical man of God? He is made of the same stuff as we. Human nature was in him and is in us. Moreover, the corruption of human nature worked in him just as it works in us. Satan too lived in those days as he does now, and he always hates a child of God, and so he would stir up fear and the ifs and buts in David's heart and mind. This is not to say that some may live very much and for very long periods on the top of the mount, singing and rejoicing. I am not their judge. All I am trying to do is to point out that in this case the man did have many changes. And I am glad he did. And you know why? We have changes ourselves. But then, are we not told that because they have no changes, therefore they fear not God? That is a very solemn word. When you come across a character making a high-sounding profession of always being happy, always confident, certain of going to heaven when he dies, looking forward to the time when he will be there, and all the rest of it, never a doubt. Well, to say the least of it, it puzzles you. And you have to say, I am not in that case. And I would like to add, I hope you never will be. After all, the old book must stand. Because they have no changes, therefore they fear not God. But here is a very important feature to observe. What did David do in the midst of his changes? He went to God with them. You do the same. That is the best place to do business with our changes. You do not need to parade them to other folk. You'll be most unwise if you do. You are likely to lay your heart open to many a wound. So keep quiet with regard to other folk and do more with your God. But you may say, is he the God of such a one? What does my text say? It ends with, O God of my salvation. And I propose dealing with the end of the text first. Here we have the object of the psalmist's petitions. He is not falling down to blocks of wood and stone or to the many gods of the heathens with which he was surrounded, but he is taught to look up to the God of my salvation. That is very helpful. If any of you are subject to these spiritual changes, alternating between fear, a measure of confidence, hope, and whatnot, remember your changes do not change your God. Keep that clear. The waters may rush and swirl round you, but the rock on which you are standing is unaffected by the waters. O God of my salvation, full of fear now, I'm afraid that thou wilt put me away in anger, afraid that thou wilt leave me, thou wilt forsake me, and these fears, strong and active, predominate. I'm a miserable, dejected creature under the weight of them. And yet what? He is still the God of my salvation. He was so here, and therefore it must be so in every similar case. And this description of the God to whom he brings his fears is very helpful. We should always remember that the Holy Ghost, in presenting different attributes of God in the Bible with regard to prayer, is not doing it haphazardly. It is done with a purpose, namely to encourage and stimulate the individuals to look to that particular being of whom he was about to speak under that particular character that the Holy Ghost is portraying. Is God Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide? What better suited to a person that is in need and has nothing to help himself out? The Lord will provide is not made for a drawing room religion, but for an individual who is down and out and has no means whatever of helping himself. Now that man is apt to say, all these things are against me. My case is hopeless. Not so. God is the providing God. Look to him in that when in deep need in your prayer. If there is such an accumulation of things that you think you want and must have in a variety of ways, you may think it is hopeless to ask of God all this. Remember, the Holy Ghost portrays him as the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth. A mere phrase? Do not think that. The phrase is intended to encourage our hope, to expand our faith, to strengthen it, to eliminate our fears and doubts. We say, can God furnish a table in the wilderness? Can he? Remember that he possesses heaven and earth. Well, those are but a few instances, and there are hundreds of them really in the Bible. Here you have one. He is the God of my salvation. Me, the one who fears thou wilt hide thy face from me, that thou wilt put me away in anger, that thou wilt forsake me. Do remember that connection, won't you? Here is the poor soul struggling with all these difficult matters in his own experience. But God, he is the God of his salvation out of all those fears. Just a moment here on something that is easily lost sight of. In God's mind, there are certain things revealed in this book, friends, the Bible. There are certain things revealed in this book as taking place, all connected with salvation, but not displayed until certain events bring them to light. Perhaps if I just read you one verse, you will see what I mean. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate. Now this foreknowledge of God and this predestination of God are acts of his own mind before time began. We would never know anything about them taking place and could not until revealed in certain processes of events. And all those immanent internal acts of his own mind are as vitally connected with salvation as the external acts of God. I just mentioned for our younger friends, the word immanent means forever remaining within him, within God. I hope I am talking simply enough for you to follow me. The internal acts of the mind of God, like election, foreknowledge, predestination, are every whit as important as God being made manifest in the flesh, God the Son dying on Calvary, his rising again, and so forth. These are external acts. We are more familiar with them because we have read about them and usually we hear about them more. But if you go back to the root, they all sprang from the infinite good pleasure of the will of God. And to think that he should have all that in his mind and heart about you. Ah, you do not know half what God thinks in his own mind about his people. We limit him in every way, but he is illimitable. O God of my salvation, in foreknowing me, in predestinating me, in choosing me, in giving me into the hands of Christ. Or is all this in the view of the psalmist? Yes, it is all implicit in this beautiful description he gives of God. O God of my salvation. Now it follows, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. But there would be no calling, no justification, no glorification, were it not for that act of his eternal mind towards us, long before we took a breath of earth into our being. This is the God we adore, with whom salvation is not an afterthought, but was in his heart before the wheels of time began to move. Further than that, the psalmist was permitted to see something of the mystery of the Trinity in that salvation, because the word God here is plural. He is full of fear. Hide not thy face far from me. Cast not thy servant away. Leave me not. Do not forsake me. And yet the Trinity in unity is concerned about my salvation. How can the two things lie together? They do. And the more complicated a child of God gets in his own exercises and fears and doubts, the more does he become attached to the fact that none but Father, Son, and Holy Ghost alone can do him any good. He will not be a free willer, nor a duty faith man, nor an Arminian. Cannot be. Why? Because God has so riddled him by permitting the devil to sift him and his own heart to torment him, and the plague and corruption of his native depravity to tease him, that none but Father, Son, and Holy Ghost can meet his case. That may be one of the best reasons why we have to have so many changes internally, that we should become the better, the deeper, the richer instructed in the truth about God. Mark the man that is always singing the Hallelujah chorus. You know what I mean by that phrase. It sums it up all in a nutshell. You watch him. Very little indeed will you hear such a one talk of a heartfelt need of the Father's almighty love, the Son's vicarious death, the Holy Ghost's quickening and upholding power. And why? Because such do not have the inward turmoil, the inward stripping and bearing of their soul's case before God. Do bear with me, but believe it to be the word of God, as I am sure it is. If you are one of these characters, and I'm not saying it lightly, you have a lot for which to be thankful. You have indeed. You may look at certain experiences of which you have read and heard, and you say, I wish I were like them. Don't you wish anything of the kind? It is a wrong thing. For one thing, it implies that the Holy Ghost does not know what to do with you, assuming that the Holy Ghost is the teacher of the other person whom you are envying. But the Holy Ghost is a sovereign. He has not led me anywhere near where he led the Apostle Paul, nor do I expect he will. But if I were to be so stupid as to say I have no hope for eternity because I am not equal to Paul, what a fool I should be. And not only a fool, but I would be guilty of really rebelling against the wisdom of the Holy Ghost. Similarly with you. You read a beautiful case, a beautiful experience, and you say, I wish that were mine. I understand you, but do bear with me. God is the best teacher. God is the best father that you can ever have. And he will lead you in the way that he intends that you should go. He will instruct you just so far as he knows is best and wisest in his infinite wisdom. The mercy is that he takes any trouble with us at all. That is what I am trying to make plain to you. It is not the measurement of our experience that will count. It is the richness, it is the infinite love of the infinite God, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, that they should have anything to do with us at all. The marvel of it, O God of my salvation. Salvation is a beautiful term, of course, but who knows what it means? I do not. One could stand about and talk about the word for hours, I suppose, if one had grace enough, but really and truly, we would not know much of what was being said. We cannot take it in. Behold, God is my salvation, says the prophet, again and again. God is. God is. What a wonderful thing. God is my salvation. Do forgive me, but some of you are young, and I want you to understand. Perhaps you will understand better as you get older. The creature cannot do one little bit in this. God alone is my salvation. Let me tell you a little story. You youngsters, listen to this. There was a young lad, only 12 years of old. Now see the sovereignty of the Holy Ghost in this person's case. He went to hear a man preach, and it was the famous Dr. Kennedy of Killearney, Dingwall. And he was preaching out of the psalm, "Thou art fairer than the children of men," at Psalm 45, verse 2. He was preaching on the loveliness, the beauty of Jesus Christ. And this lad, 12 years of age, heard wonderful things that morning. Ah, but he heard them in his soul, and he went out never to forget it, that sermon of dear Dr. Kennedy. The triumphant joy of the boy's heart after hearing that sermon, some of the elders questioned and doubted. They questioned it because they thought he had not been to Mount Sinai. It worried him. Well, it might. People never know how much worry and trouble an odd remark can cause to another. He asked God that he would show him his righteous displeasure against sin, and that if he were wrong, he would put him right. And God did it in a second. In a second, gave him such a flash of his righteous ire in the law against sin, that the dear fellow said, if he had let it stay for minutes instead of for seconds, I should have lost my reason. That boy lived 78 years after that, and the whole of those years were spent devoted to the cause of the living God where he happened to be. Godliness, uprightness, integrity were demonstrated in his life, and he ended triumphantly. So the Holy Ghost can meet with a boy even in hearing of the loveliness of Christ. Might he meet with you? But see the sovereignty of the Holy Ghost in the matter. We usually say that you must go to Sinai before you can come to Zion, and often that is true. But do remember, it is not always true. The things that happened to Israel, we are told by the Holy Ghost in the Epistle to the Corinthians, happened unto them for ensamples or types of what the people of God would pass through. Very well. What happened to Israel? They came out of Egypt by the Passover lamb. They came out of Egypt, that is a figure of the world dead in sin. They came out of that by the Passover lamb's blood sprinkled upon the doorpost. And they went several days' journey into the wilderness before they came to Sinai. Probably some of you here this morning never knew much about Sinai at first, probably next to nothing. You have heard people talk about being cut down by the law and their inside made to shiver as they stood on the brink of hell. I am not speaking lightly. Some of his are made to do that. You have heard people talk like that and you have said, mine is not like that and never has been to that extent. But say it is 5, 10, 15, 20 or more years since you hoped the good work was begun. How do you stand now compared with them with regard to yourself as a sinner? A bigger one than ever. You want no one to tell you about Sinai. You have had some of its thunders and lightnings in your heart and mind since then. It is the same thing, you see, and the great and important thing is this, that by the law is the knowledge of sin. Just when God shall give it to us is at his disposal. If he gives it to you and me in a depth at the beginning of our experience, that is for him to determine. Or if he shall do it gradually and by slow degrees as we journey on in the godly path, it is still his sovereign good will. But the point is this, let me come back to it. God is the God of our salvation and deliverance. Deliverance from the guilt of sin, the filth of sin, the power of sin, the damnation of sin, and a lot more than I could talk about. No one can tell all of what salvation is. Now look at his three petitions he addresses to that God of his salvation. First, hide not thy face far from me. Then he had known what that face was. Of course he had. He had had it shine. Ah, and if a man has had it shine, he knows the miss of it. But if you have not had it shine, you do not know the miss of it, friend. How can you? He had had it shine, and then God had withdrawn it. Ah, let me have a word at whatever price on him who worked out our salvation. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? If anyone knew anything about the hiding of the face of God, his dear Son did. Now that is a mystery, dear friends, into which you will never enter. You may think about it, but cannot enter into it. It was not because he had done anything displeasing to his Father, not the slightest. I do always those things that please him. It was not personal sins then. No. What could it have been? Ah, had he you in his heart then? Is that it? Was he thinking of you and me then? Bearing your sin, my sin, at that moment? If so, the answer is quite easy. That is why he was forsaken of God. God could not, God would not look even upon his own dear son, whom he loved with an infinity of love, while he was the sin bearer. Sin on him. Sin really imputed to him. So that in God's sense of justice, his dear son stood as, like, a sinner. By sin imputed, not an actual one. The scapegoat of Israel is here, with every iniquity of Israel on it. And for 3 hours, he endured what must have been to him intolerable hell. A forsaken soul, forsaken of God. We do not, please God, we never may know what that means. There is an experience then in which a child of God comes into a sense that God has hid his face from him. You know, he had plenty of good reasons for it, haven't you? Ah, you cannot hold up your head up in front of him. You dare not. You know why he has hidden his face from you. What a blessing it is to know it. What a blessing it is to confess it too. That sin, that habit, that something or other that you know in your conscience displeases God. Bring it out to daylight, friend. Act honestly to your God. Say, this is it, Lord. Give me grace to kill it, to put it away. Hide not thy face from me on account of this. You'll be surprised how pleased he will be to hear from you like that. He will, if we confess our sins. He does not say, if we will atone for them, or if we will go to purgatory for them, but if we confess our sins. Is it not great? If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins, and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Is it likely that God would long hide his face from this man? Look what he says in verse 8. When thou saidst, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. Here is a man to whom God has said, seek ye my face. And his heart says, thy face, Lord, will I seek. And yet when he seeks that face, he says, hide not thy face far from me. Is it likely that God would say to a man, seek ye my face, then God hide his face from him for long? No. There is something so nice about this God telling you to seek his face. Sometimes, you know, he comes through your conscience. Listen to your conscience. It is still the monitor of God in a man, especially an enlightened conscience. And when conscience says to you, now you cease meddling with that matter, you seek the face of God about it. You obey that. You drop all your own plans and manoeuvrings and schemes. Drop them and follow your enlightened conscience, for it is God saying to you, seek ye my face. Sometimes you will find, too, an inward disposition to call upon God, to seek his face. You do not always have that disposition working. You are often averse to going to God. If you are not, I am. I'm sorry to say that. There is that nature that is independent of God, does not want God. The carnal mind is enmity against God. That is an awful, terrible reality. Sometimes, to your surprise, you will find that heart of yours has a disposition. You do want to pray. You do want to pray. You can't get a spot where you can pray in profound secrecy. Probably you have been in the midst of company and associations, and yet this has been working in the heart in the background. Pray, 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 pray. And you have had to find a place to pray. God has been speaking to you. He has been saying, "Seek ye my face." And your heart has said, "Thy face, Lord, will I seek." And yet, directly you have been to seek it, it seems to have gone. You cannot find it, cannot feel it. "Hide not thy face far from me, Lord. You did tell me to seek thy face." Ah, isn't it wonderful, this business of seeking the face of God? I was thinking not long ago of that opening chapter in the Bible. "Let there be light," and there was light. Let, let, let. Read that first chapter of Genesis again and note the lets that occur in it. And every one of them is in the imperative mood. It is a command. "Let there be light," and there was light. God says, "Seek ye my face." He no sooner says it than our heart echoes back, "Thy face, Lord, will I seek." When God says in Isaiah 55 verse 7, "Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord," God is speaking in the language of Genesis 1, in the imperative mood. It is a gracious command, and with the command is power and a willingness to obey. May he bless you and me with much more of this. Then the second petition is, "Put not thy servant away in anger." There are plenty of reasons why he might do. You will know them. You will say what is written in Luke 17, verse 10, where our Lord says, "So likewise ye, when ye shall have done all those things which are commanded you, say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done that which was our duty to do. Put me not away in thine anger." You remember that beautiful little story in the Book of Kings. The Queen of Sheba comes to Solomon and she sees the wonderful things that he has and the wealth of his palace and his retinue and his household and his servants. And she says, "Happy are thy men, happy are these thy servants, which stand continually before thee, and that hear thy wisdom." Oh, but a greater than Solomon is here. All his children are his servants. If Solomon's servants were happy to be his servants, how much more happiness lies in our being made a servant of God. "Put not thy servant, unprofitable as I am, put me not away." Jesus will not. Why is that? I have read it to you this morning in that beautiful 12th of John. Jesus says, "Where I am, there shall also my servant be." Is it not beautiful? Ah, if the poor, lame dog of a servant often feels he is unworthy to be called a servant of God, yet where Christ is, Christ says he shall be. Instead of being put away in anger, he will be put up, he will be promoted to an association with his Lord forever. Leave me not, dismiss me not, abandon me not. There is a beautiful little story in the Old Testament illustrating that. David's men found an Egyptian servant starved, sick, by the wayside. They bring him to David and he asks him about himself. And he says, I'm a young man of Egypt, servant to an Amalekite, and my master left me. Because 3 days agone I fell sick, left him, abandoned him to perish. The psalmist says, do not do like that, Lord, with me. Leave me not, neither forsake me. And he will not. I will never leave thee. I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. Then his last petition or expression is, thou hast been my help. Though he puts in those three petitions, he appeals to his past experience. Thou hast been my help, Lord. How true that is. Unless the Lord had been my help, my soul had almost dwelt in silence, said the psalmist. And I am sure he was right. That would have been the finish of David, and it would have been the finish of you and me too, long ago. Why hasn't the finish come? He has been our help. Thou hast been our help, a very present help in time of trouble, when you want him the most. And again, because thou hast been my help, therefore in the shadow of thy wings will I rejoice. Oh, then this man comes up. Yes, he gets up sometimes. He can sing the Hallelujah chorus sometimes. He can sing praises to God sometimes in his spirit when the Lord helps him out of the low place again. Thou hast been my help. Stick to that, friend, stick to it. Never mind how the devil browbeats you, stick to the fact, thou hast been my help. Remembering the words of the inspired apostle, having therefore obtained help of God, I continue unto this day. Amen.
Collections last Lord's Day amounted to £705, for which we are very thankful. And God willing, Mr. Chapman is expected to preach this evening. Sunday school this afternoon will be at Bethany, and there will be a church meeting tomorrow evening at 8:30. And God willing, Mr. Wheatley is expected to preach on Tuesday evening, and Mr. Charles Woolboys next Lord's Day, who also hopes to do Sunday school. Let us close with hymn number 11. Thy mercy, my God, is the theme of my song, the joy of my heart and the boast of my tongue. Thy free grace alone, from the first to the last, has won my affections and bound my soul fast. Hymn number 11.
So, Lord, do fall over thy blessing. The Lord, let her have been that done this to my honour and Lord, do pray for my servant who's expected with us. Lord, do be with me. Pray that I'm granted my healing. Shall do restore him again to help us. Lord, do pray for my servant we hope to have with us. Lord, do be with him where he is today. Lord, do grant him much liberty. Oh, do pour him that he may grow. Bring him unto us this evening in peace and strength. Oh, do grant him that clear heart without hindrance or doubt. Lord, do give him the strength, bless him in it, and may it prove to be thy own. Oh, that he should do this. Lord, do bless them, and may there be something done to thy honour and glory. Oh, be with us now as we part to gather with the children this afternoon. Lord, may there be something for them. Oh, Lord, do work in England. Lord, may there be something that they may hear in the services, like we heard this morning. Oh, may there be that done in their young lives. Lord, do you bless them in that. Oh, do be with us. Remember any young man, remember one, Lord, away in a foreign land, watch over him, keep him, bring him back in peace and sleep. Remember a aged one in that. Lord, do remember each one. And any with any trials and difficulties, Lord, do appear. Oh, do be with each one. Lord, we would remember, Lord, as we heard of our little family bereaved on the past day of Edward. Lord, do be with them and comfort them, we pray. And now, Lord, do be with us as we pray. We ask it in Jesus Christ. Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God.